Welcome to the New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, the New Mind Creator. Today, I'll be interviewing Ann Swanson. Please make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll receive alerts when new episodes are available on Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Also, please leave me a review on iTunes or Spotify.
What was life like when you were growing up?
You know, I feel like my childhood was a little bit anxious. I was an anxious person by nature, and I think the turmoil in the household brought that on. But, you know, now I have tools to deal with that anxiety, but then I did not. So I threw a lot of temper tantrums.
Where did you grow up?
I was in Virginia growing up most of my life.
What did you vision yourself doing as a kid? Often, when I was growing up, adults would ask us, what are you going to do when you grow up? What was your answer?
I said I wanted to be a writer, and I thought I wanted to be like a novel writer. So I tried to start my first novel as soon as I could start writing. But now I am a writer. I've written 2 books. I write a lot now. But yeah, I did want to be a writer. It just didn't turn out exactly the way I thought. I write nonfiction, not fiction. My first book is Science of Yoga. My second book is Meditation for the Real World. So really practical nonfiction books.
So after high school, what did you do?
After high school, I went to college for art school, actually. And I studied photography, film, documentary film. In college, I traveled. I went to Peru to make a documentary. I studied abroad in China. So I was very artistic during that time, but that led me around the world and to have a like traveling spirit.
What chronic pain did you have to overcome?
I dealt with chronic pain since I was a teenager, and I thought it was just kind of normal for pain to come when you didn't sleep well or when you're stressed or hormonally through the month. And then when I went to college, you know, I would go out drinking or eat a bunch of sugary foods with my friends, and I would be like bedridden in pain, crawling out of bed afterwards. And I realized, oh, wait, they're in some pain. They're hungover, but they're not at the level I'm in. This is something different. So over time, I've discovered I have chronic joint pain that is exacerbated by inflammation. So whether it be lack of sleep or inflammatory foods, stress, and I've also had a diagnosis of fibromyalgia, which is a central nervous system misregulation, misinterpretation of signals. So with that, meditation and mind body practices is a really great solution for that type of chronic pain, or for really when pain becomes chronic. We got to work with the central nervous system. We got to work with the mind.
Was this pain just all over your body?
Yeah, it's joint pain. So it's pretty evenly all joints, but I do have more in my shoulders, elbows, and wrists, and just hands in general. So that's where it's mostly usually for me. But it's like all your joints kind of just like ache. I think most people have experienced this when they had a flu. So that sort of feeling, or even COVID, brought on a lot of joint aches for people. So if you've had that experience, just imagine having that, you know, for weeks at a time when it's flaring or on and off. That's what I experienced.
And this began when you were a teenager. Mm-hmm. And how far into adulthood did you go before you found meditation to be able to help you?
Yeah, well, I first, like many people, came to yoga for the physical practice, not for the practices like meditation and breath work. And I would get to the point in the yoga class where I was like, you know, ready to go. They'd be starting a meditation. I'd look at my watch. I'm like, it is time to go. I have things to do. I don't have time for this. I already did my exercise. I looked at it very physically. And I gained a lot of benefits even from my anxiety from the physical practice. But ultimately, when a teacher would, you know, experiment with a different technique with meditation or a technique that helped me relax, I'd be like, wow, okay, this is what it feels like to relax. So little by little, I started to get glimpses of the potential of it. And then I got more into it and I realized this is really where the magic's at. Because ultimately, the physical poses in yoga are preparing us to meditate, which is reaching these higher states of consciousness.
And what led you to India to study yoga?
Yeah. So when I graduated from college, it was the recession. So I bought a one-way ticket to China because there was definitely work for me there. And I got a job teaching at a university. I was teaching English and I was very depressed while I was in China. And I, you know, it's very polluted. I was isolated. People stared at me at the streets. And so I ultimately started doing a lot of Tai Chi and yoga while I was there and meditating to get through that depression. And I did my basic like 200-hour yoga teacher training in China. So it was half in Chinese and half was with English speaking Indian teachers. And they encouraged me when I graduated to go to India. They're like, you're already, you know, halfway there. You might as well just go to India and continue your studies there. So I went from China to India to do my advanced yoga teacher training, as well as Ayurvedic massage and sound healing and meditation training. And I was in the north of India in Dharamsala, where the Dalai Lama lives. And so I went there to do my advanced teacher training. And as I was there, you know, I was discovering so much about the philosophy, of course, but also anatomy and physiology. My teacher, Yogi Shivadas, he was very much into the science to support yoga in addition to the philosophy. And I left India realizing that I needed to study science. I had an art degree and now I was ready to go back to school to understand anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, so that I could be the best yoga teacher possible. So I did the pre-med course load. I worked in a cadaver lab. I became a massage therapist, just studying the human body from every aspect possible. That's what that really inspired me to do. And ultimately to understand my own chronic pain and anxiety, but also to help others.
What are some things you discovered throughout your academic and your personal journey as well? What are some things that you've learned?
I remember the first time I held a human brain in my hands and everybody around me was just, you know, checking off their list of the structures we needed to identify, and it was a very like cold activity for them. But for me, it was a profound moment. Because this brain had loved, it had computed mathematics, it had lived a life, and it was so dense, it's so densely packed and kind of small, actually, this heaviness and denseness to it. And I felt this spiritual experience in the cadaver lab that day of awe, of absolute awe. And all for my own body. I think this reverence for your own body is something I've learned from science, from anatomy and physiology, from the cadaver lab, from massage, from all the things that I do, is this sense of reverence, which is important when you have chronic pain and anxiety, which you could be mad at your body for, right? But ultimately, my brain and my body are protecting me. And I've come to this place where I recognize that the pain is my body telling me, you know, whispering, or if I don't listen, it yells. And it's telling me, you know, what I need to do for self-care. You know, I need to rest. I need to take a bath. I need to not eat that thing again. I need to not go out late. And it's really forced me into a healthy lifestyle. Like, I don't think I would be living the healthy lifestyle that I live now if I didn't have pain and anxiety to kind of keep me in check. So I think that reverence for the human body and appreciation, even for the things that seem bad, you know, that I could be resentful for. And I was resentful for at points in my life. Now I have a greater sense of appreciation.
Can you describe the anxiety you experienced growing up? And then when you started your journey through yoga and meditation, how it changed?
Yeah, I was so anxious, just like social anxiety, worries, perfectionism, people pleasing sort of anxiety, type A, got to be the best, feel a lot of shame if I'm not the best or if somebody rejects me, that sort of anxiety. But as I got into college, it started to manifest as passing out. So when I would go to the doctor's office, anything that had to do with my body, like, you know, getting a procedure done, I would get very anxious about it. And, you know, fight, flight, or freeze, I would just pass out. I would be on the floor, like, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know where I was. They always ask you, like, what's your name? What's the date? I don't even understand. I'm human. I am so discombobulated for days afterwards with that adrenaline rush. So it was really manifesting in a debilitating way for me. And so I went to a yoga teacher and I said, you know, what can I do to be able to go get this medical procedure done? And they gave me some meditation techniques. And ultimately, I did with some trial and error, I found some meditation techniques that worked for me to help me get through that. And I realized, okay, you know, we can use meditation practically in these moments. It doesn't have to be this like long formal practice, 20 minutes on a cushion on the floor, perfect silence, or with chanting in the background. Like, it can be at the doctor's office waiting for them to walk in. That can be your very strategically placed meditation. So for me, I started to integrate it into these critical moments in my life. You know, before you go on stage, that's another place where I've had a lot of anxiety, before you speak in front of other people. You know, that's a great moment to do a meditation, a 1 minute meditation, a mini meditation, just to check in and calm your energy, to ground yourself. So for me, I've found that it's like this critical component to help me get through those rises of an anxiety. It's not like the anxiety is gone completely. It still comes up, but I can recognize it earlier, right? I'm listening to my body better. I can recognize it. And then I now have tools to deal with it.
It's like you can experience it, and instead of tensing up, you're able to work your way through it, whatever mm-hmm. you're feeling.
Yeah. Or I do tense up and I notice that I'm tensing up, right? Mm-hmm. And so just that act of being conscious of it, being aware that, like, okay, I tensed up. Okay, now you're going to relax just by noticing. So yeah, it's a real big shift to stop ignoring. I think that's what we do when we have anxiety or pain, is mm-hmm. we ignore the signals because they're uncomfortable. But if you actually listen to them, you know, before you go on stage, before you go into an interview, you pause and you feel your heart beating. That's your body rising to the occasion. That's your body helping you out, giving you blood flow, sending more blood to your upper extremities, to your brain, so that you can focus. So you can take a few deep breaths and like ground into it, but also like recognize that your body is rising to the occasion. So rather than being against your body, you're like grateful for it, or appreciative, or as I said before, kind of in awe of the magic that your body does to help you in each situation.
I heard that some of the best speakers throughout the ages, they have felt that feeling, that tense feeling experience that you were describing mm-hmm. before they actually speak. Even though they were prepared, they still had to work with that.
Yes, exactly. And that's a good thing, because guess what it means? It means what you're doing is important and your body knows it. Your heart is working hard to make sure that you get the oxygen and blood in the right places that you need. Like, so if you can look at it that way, it's like, okay, this is important. I got this.
Like calisthenics, we can use what's going our body weight, and we can use all sorts of things to our advantage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Could you share a short, an example of a short meditation that the audience can use?
Yeah, especially because we've been talking about like ignoring the signals. Let's do just the simple five senses meditation. So anytime, anywhere that you're feeling kind of discombobulated, you're going to check in with your five senses. You could, perhaps as you're listening to this, sit a little taller or stand a little taller if you're walking, and notice how you physically feel. You might even wiggle your shoulders or your neck to readjust because your body's speaking to you. It's probably telling you to change your posture. So notice physical sensations. Notice what you see around you. Notice it with a new light. Take a moment, just look around you. Broaden your vision. We're so used to looking at screens up close. Look far away. Broaden the vision. Notice what you hear. You hear my voice, but different layers in your environment, you're hearing sounds, even far away, outside. Hear the different layers of sounds as a symphony of sound surrounding you. Take a deep breath and notice any smells. Notice any tastes. Now, bring together all your senses simultaneously. Can you take them all in? What you feel, hear, see, smell, and taste. And that's it. It could be a minute. It could be 30 seconds. It could be as long as you need or want.
Thank you. That felt really good to even, you know, follow along with that. It doesn't take long, like you said, to be in the state, a different state. Just like we can switch our minds from happy, sad, all these different emotions that we feel, it could happen instantaneously when we focus on something different.
Yes, it's very powerful. It doesn't take that long.
Yeah. Now, you wrote The Science of Yoga, one of your books. What was the title of your first book, or is that the title of your first
book? That's the first book that I wrote. It's been a little over 5 years. We're actually working on a new edition of it right now. And we worked with some of the best illustrators and designers in the world for this book. It is a piece of art. It really, truly is. But it's also packed full of science that the health benefits supporting yoga, which there is a lot of. Yoga is not a woo-woo activity. It actually has a large amount of research that has been growing over the last few decades to support it.
What are some benefits to yoga?
Well, yoga benefits every single system of your body. So cardiovascular health is a huge area, helping to lower your blood pressure and cholesterol, improve your cardiovascular profile, lessen the likelihood of heart disease, and also mental health. That's another huge area of the research. Yoga is so beneficial for helping with anxiety, depression, trauma, and overall resilience, you know, overall fulfillment and happiness. That would all be part of that mental health, as well as your immune system. It helps you get sick less often. And yoga, you name it, like the body system, it helps, right? It helps us be more flexible. So that's your muscular system. It can help with structurally, help you with your posture, help you with your bones. It's shown to be beneficial for every system of the body, even on a cellular level. Now, all these benefits carry on also to meditation, which my second book that recently came out is about meditation for the real world. And I teamed with a Harvard researcher, Dr. Sarah Lazar, to write this book to integrate the cutting edge research. And a lot of it is on neuroscience. Meditation is so beneficial for your brain. It actually rebuilds critical areas of your brain that tend to degrade with age. It rebuilds the connectivity in the tissue, making it literally larger in those areas, helping you to focus better, improve your memory, improve emotional regulation. So there's a lot of benefits for meditation for your brain and nervous system. But just like yoga, meditation is beneficial for all your systems, every system of your body. It helps you also get sick less. It helps you relax your physical body. It's beneficial in so many ways. So I illuminated those ways in Meditation for the Real World. So it has that science focus, but it really has practical step-by-step. Here's how you do it. Like we just did. Here's a five senses meditation. Here's what you do. And here's how you can fit it into your everyday life.
It sounds like it also helps with the mind-body connection, because sometimes we could be in our minds in the past, just constantly rehearsing something from our past, and we could literally be sabotaging our physical bodies by doing that. And it sounds like yoga can help with that mind-body connection.
Yes, yoga and meditation help with that. And often when there's a problem in the body, the solution is in the mind, right? If you have chronic pain, like I dealt with, the solution is, you know, rewiring your brain, helping your brain and your nervous system interpret the signals correctly. And then when there's a problem in the mind, like anxiety or stress, the solution is often in the body. Like when we exercise, when we do yoga poses, we feel better with our anxiety and stress management, right? So that connection, interconnection, is really critical. And with meditation, there are many meditations that incorporate the body too. So you don't have to just sit on the floor, you know, in this formal cross-legged position. There's walking meditation. You can do meditations that involve movement. So meditation is a lot different than what people think. You know, people think it's stopping your thoughts completely, but it's human nature to mind wander. Meditation is instead boot camp for your focus. It helps you be able to focus better and notice when you're, like you said, self-sabotaging, thinking about, you know, what you said 10 years ago and how you should have said something different, right? Like that's not beneficial for you. That's creating distress. So meditation helps us recognize when we're doing that. The thing is, most of the day, we don't even recognize. We're walking through the day. We have this chatter in our mind. We all do. But the problem is we believe it. We don't even notice that it's separate, right? We're like, oh yeah, that's truth. We start engaging with it. But meditation helps you question it and be like, wait a second, is that, you know, and you're able to kind of step back and observe that, you know, maybe that's just my brain's negativity bias trying to keep me safe, but I'm actually safe right now. Like, you know, this email isn't going to kill me. We release the same chemical cocktail when we look at a stressful email as if a saber-toothed tiger is after us. But that doesn't make sense in our modern world. We don't need to be on that high alert anymore. So meditation creates this greater sense of perspective so that you can notice when your mind is wandering, especially to those negative thoughts.
I know this is probably not a cut and dry answer, but a general answer. How often should a beginner possibly ease into meditation? I mean, not meditation, yoga in particular.
Yoga? Oh, yes. Well, I would say both. Let's talk about both. Okay. So, you know, with yoga and meditation, I like to integrate little breaks through my day. So I'll do like a 5-minute yoga practice in my chair. And actually on my YouTube channel, I have a lot of like 5 to 10 minute practices you can do right at your desk chair, right? So you can integrate these moments. I'll even do like a sun salutation, a flowing yoga sequence on my kitchen counter, like just my hands touch the counter and my feet are on the floor and I'm leaning on the counter while I'm waiting for water to boil. Or I'll do a tree pose standing on one leg while I'm waiting for something to cook. So I'll integrate these little moments of practicing through my day. And I found that to be critical. You could, of course, go to a formal yoga class a few times a week would be a good place to start. Just like any exercise, you start slow and build up because there's the physical exercise component to it. Now with meditation, I do the same thing. I integrate these little moments into my life. Now I do have a formal 10-minute meditation practice in the morning. And I do that before I get started with my list of things to do in the morning. And that is a really great thing to start. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 1 minute in the morning, but the morning is a traditional place to place a meditation because you are precious and it's going to set a tone for your day. So for your listeners, I have a gift at meditationfortherealworld.com where they can find out about how to buy the book. They also can get a meditation challenge where you're going to get less than 10 minutes a day of practices that you can fit into your day. So you're going to want to fit them into these like moments, like in the morning. You want to like maybe you make coffee or tea before you have your first sip of coffee or tea. That's when you're going to have it, right? You have some sort of routine, fit it into your routine. So that's how I would start the more formal practice, which you can get at meditationfortherealworld.com. And then these little moments, these powerful pauses through the day, you can do perhaps right before you press accept on a Zoom meeting or before you go pick up your kids from school and you're waiting in the car and you have a little moment there. That's when you can fit these 1 minute meditations like we just practiced. The five senses meditation, or there's numerous other 1 minute meditations in Meditation for the Real World that you can fit in critical moments in your day.
What is your one to grow on? What valuable piece of information would you like to leave our audience with?
It only takes a minute. Honestly, it even only takes a breath. If you are in a really stressful situation, like you're about to blow a fuse and yell at your kids, take a deep breath, right? A one breath meditation. But the thing is, we all have a minute. We're all, you know, somewhere where we could be pausing and checking in with our bodies, but instead we're scrolling. We're on social media. We're mindlessly clicking our Gmail app. Instead of doing that, ground your feet down. Rather than scrolling while you wait, meditate while you wait. Sit tall and just check in. Take a 1 minute pause. It only takes a minute.
Thank you for listening to The New Mind Creator Podcast with your host, Maurice, The New Mind Creator. Today's episode has been sponsored by Abundant Sports and True Serum.